Well, it's great to see you all again. And it's wonderful to be able to share the Word of God always. It's a real blessing. We're very pleased that the young folks from here agreed to go down to Montague tonight. But it's nice, too, to have a couple of full seats there. But it is great. Per capita, I don't know how much of a change it is. If you look at it in percentages, it might be just about even. But it's great to have them down there tonight. In the book of John, there are seven very familiar I am sayings, which I'm sure the believers here would be very familiar with. And then there are... And I won't be dogmatic on this, but I believe that there are another seven I am sayings of Christ in the book of John, which are very wonderful. When we talk about who our Lord Jesus Christ is, He is the great I am of the Old Testament. He is indeed Jehovah God, the ever-existing one. Past, present, and future, it is all the same to Him. He lives and dwells in the ever-present somehow. And you asked me to explain that, and as a man, I'm undone. But I believe very much it is true. I would like for us to look in the book of Exodus just for a moment before we proceed with John. The book of Exodus chapter 3. Here we have the call of Moses to lead the children of Israel. He was in his own right a Messiah, certainly not the Messiah, but he was one who was sent to deliver the people of Israel. And Moses had a question for the Lord. We read in verse 13, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations." And so we see in verse 14 there, I believe it is, "I am hath sent me unto you. I am hath sent me unto you." And in the book of John, we have the gospel of the Son of God. And we have very often these words, "I am," and then it will say, not a, but the. I am the. I am the only door. I am the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only way. I'm the only good shepherd. I am the only true vine. All of these things concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the book of John chapter 4 and verse 26. The book of John chapter 4. This, of course, is the story of the woman at the well. John chapter 4. Used to sing a song, it's kind of contemporary. I don't know if something's contemporary when it gets to be 40 or 50 years old or not. I think if you're a teenager, you'd say not. When we got 40 or 50 years old, our children didn't think of us as contemporary. But anyway, the song reads, "He knew me and yet he loved me. He knew me, and yet he loved me. And when we think of the woman at the well, the Lord Jesus Christ knew her. He knew everything about her. It's interesting that knowing her altogether, he says to her in the first part of this chapter, he said in verse 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to me, give to me drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Just for the asking, he would have given her living water. If you knew the gift of God, the gift of God we know is eternal life. In verse 25, the woman saith to Jesus, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." It's interesting that even though she was a Samaritan, she had what they call, the Jews call, the messianic hope. She was expecting the Messiah. When the Messiah would come, he would explain all things to them. And it's interesting what Jesus says here. "Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he." But you notice in your King James Bible, the he is added to increase the sense of the statement in one way. But we notice what it would say if you took the he out. "I that speak unto thee am." I am. "Say to them that I am has sent me unto you." And the I am is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew she had five husbands. He knew she was living common law. He knew all of her sin. And yet he had to come and had to meet with her. And so we see him speak to her here as the I am, as the great Messiah, the one that was promised way back at the beginning of Genesis, at the very beginning. Once we have the fall of man, then what we have is a presentation of the seed of the woman who would crush Satan's head, who would be the great deliverer. And this is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the great I am, the one who is called in the next verse in Exodus, the Lord God or Jehovah God, Jehovah Elohim, Elohim being plural, it speaks of the Trinity. And the Bible says also there are three that give witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And the Lord Jesus Christ is equal to God. And so we have her meeting him there. It's interesting that in verse 41, and it's speaking of the Samaritans whom the Jews felt were something akin to the scum of the earth, and many more in verse 41, believe because of his own word, the words of the Lord Jesus, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." He was a Savior not only of the Jew, but also the Samaritan. Not only the Samaritan, but also the Gentile. He was the Savior of the world, this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus he is presented in the book of John, "For God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth on him." He knows you. He is the I am. And yet he loves you. He loves me. Let's look at John chapter 8 and verse 24. There's three in the book of John chapter 8, which speaks much of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 24 of John chapter 8. This is a very sobering verse. In our Lord Jesus here is speaking, it tells us in verse 3, to the scribes and Pharisees. And then in verse 21 we read, "Then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins." Isn't that something? You shall die in your sins. What a way to die. That means taking full responsibility for them. To stand before the judge without a word of anything less than an excuse. And the Bible says every mouth shall be stopped. Really, not a word at all. Not a word. Not one in your defense. If you die in your sins, if you die without Christ, then it is a terrible thing. Jesus said, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." To die in your sins is never to see the Lord Jesus Christ, never to walk the golden streets of heaven. Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, where I go, ye cannot come. Where can he go that we can't go?" And he said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above," from the heavens, from the aboves. "Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if," and notice this word, this sentence here, "for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." If you believe not that I am, notice the he is in italics again. The Lord Jesus Christ is none other than deity, God in the flesh. Very, very important. The fact is here, as we hear of the fundamentalists, it's a word that doesn't have very good connotations today in the minds of some as being kind of narrow. But actually, it is very true. This is a fundamental. Notice what it says. If you do not believe that I am, ye, where I go, ye cannot come. Ye shall die in your sins, and you cannot come where I am going. Very, very serious. It is necessary to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in order to be saved at all. I was recently reading a book on exclusivism. Exclusivism being that a very dirty word today. Basically, the idea that many people would like to have is that everybody is going to wind up in heaven if they believe in something or other. But the Bible doesn't teach that at all. It teaches a complete exclusivism. That unless you have Jesus Christ as your own Savior, you will never, ever get to heaven. You'll never get there. There's only one way there. There might be many ways to come to Christ in one sense, but in another, it is only by faith. Some would say, I had one lady say to me, she says, "When I take the bread and the wine, I am receiving Jesus Christ." But you know what the Bible says clearly? That when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an act of faith and not sight. You are not receiving Jesus Christ when you take of the bread and the wine. Rather, the Bible says you receive him by faith. You receive him by trusting in him. The Bible says, with the heart, man believeth. With the heart, man believeth. It's very important for us to understand that, this trusting the word of God. But one thing that we must believe about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is the I Am. He is not a good man, although he was a good man. That is not primary to salvation. Although believing that he came in the flesh is, that he became a man, but not just that he is a good man, but that he is the I Am, the one of whom God spoke in the book of Exodus. Let's look at John chapter 8 again and verse 28. John chapter 8 and verse 28. I have to excuse me, I keep putting my glasses off and on. I need to get my bifocals fixed so I can either read or I can look at you folks. It's either one or the other, but I can't do both at the same time at least. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And notice, when I am lifted up, then shall ye know that I am. And he again is in italics there, I am he. I am. That is who the Lord Jesus is. It's interesting that something of so much weakness as the cross, being so despised, being so mocked, being falsely accused, but the way that he carried himself upon the cross caused the thief to say, who hung there and was just as mocking as the rest, caused him to say concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, this man hath done nothing amiss. I deserve to be here. He looked over at the other thief. You deserve to be here. We've done all kinds of things for which we deserve death and damnation. But he has not done anything. He called him Lord, a name of deity in itself. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he knew this one that was hanging upon that cross would one day reign in righteousness. He probably knew enough from the Jews to know that he would reign on the throne of David forever and ever. Isn't that something? And what would he have known if Jesus had not gone to the cross? What would the centurion below the cross, what would he have said were it not for how the Lord Jesus behaved upon the cross, his love? And as he looked about at the different things that happened, the Lord Jesus' victory cry, it is finished. The cry which brought the lights on, so to speak. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was no more reason then, for Jesus had finished the great work of salvation. The lights come on. And then Jesus offers his spirit up to the Father and chooses the very moment of death when all things are finished, knowing that all things were now completed. And he cried up to the Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he was gone. He lowered his head. He was gone. He put forth, as it were, the spirit, his own spirit, his breath, his life, and he died. And then there was a tremendous earthquake. And the Bible says, at seeing all these things and hearing all these things, that the centurion And also many others that were at that cross scene. I used to think it was him alone, but if you read carefully the passages, there were many others who also said, "Indeed, this is a righteous man. Indeed, this is the Son of God." Isn't it interesting, the power of the cross? And the power of the cross is also the expression of the love of God to us. All things in this world seem to point and make a question, does God really love us? But the question is answered at the cross of Calvary, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, loved me and gave himself for me. Wonderful truth from the Word of God. I am, he says, when I be lifted up, then shall ye know that I am. It's interesting also, in the weeks to follow, or at least the months to follow, that we have literally thousands of people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the main issue of the messages under which they were convicted and saved were basically the charge that the Jewish nation had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, but that God was really behind it all, and that he rose again the third day victorious over sin, and that through repentance and faith, the same coin, turning from sin, turning in faith to Jesus Christ, that we have eternal life. The preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And the Holy Scripture says here, that ye may know that I am, when I be lifted up. We'll find something else about this, if I be lifted up, also as we look on in this chapter. John chapter 8 and verse 58, which, by the way, I believe is the clearest of these I am sayings, in the sense that it does not say, I am he. It's not put in by the translators. But Jesus says in verse 54, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto Jesus, thou art not yet 50 years old. He was in fact about 33. And hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Isn't that quite a statement? Before Abraham was, I am. I'd like for us just to turn for a moment to the book of Genesis chapter 22. The book of Genesis chapter 22. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What shall be seen? The wonderful sacrifice for sins. That which took the place of his son Isaac. That, by the way, which would take the place of you and I and Abraham and all. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Abraham saw my day and was glad. By the way, I have a little date on top of this. But 1872 B.C., before Christ was ever born. And so what Christ is saying here, he's saying before Abraham ever was, I am. The ever-present one, the Lord Jesus Christ, That is him. The Bible speaks of him in prophecy. The prophets could speak of his suffering and the glory that was to follow his suffering. Even in the book of Genesis chapter 3, speaking to Satan, thou shalt strike his heel, but he will crush your head. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Abraham was, I am. It was there long before Abraham. His goings forth have been from everlasting. He is the eternal I am of God. And it's interesting that they took up stones to cast at him in 59. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I was thinking of that. He could not be stoned. That was the way, a penalty of death of the Jews, was to stone a man, a false prophet or whatever, and they would have stoned him. But we notice what he did. Jesus hid himself. How could a man hide himself? Well, that itself proves that he is the great I am. He just hid himself, went out amongst them, and disappeared, basically. The Lord Jesus Christ, he could not die that way. We had already read, when I am lifted up, they pierced my hands and my feet. Cursed is any man that hangeth on a tree. All of these things are associated. They are Old Testament verses associated with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall, John identifies the spear being plunged into the side of our Savior as being a fulfillment of the prophecy, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. He had to die the way that he died. It does not speak of a stoning, it talks of crucifixion. Even 1,000, 2,000 years before it took place. What a Savior. What a Savior. He is indeed the great I am. Let's look at chapter 10 and verse 36. I do this, and time is moving on us here. In chapter 10 and verse 36, verse 33, we read, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not. We're not stoning thee because good works. By the way, once again, they tried to stone him, and they were unsuccessful. But for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They knew exactly what he was saying when he said, before Abraham was, I am. They knew he was claiming to be full deity, that he was claiming to be God. He says to them in verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? And notice those words, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, and he escaped out of their hand. He escaped again. He wasn't to die that way. I was noticing the argument that he uses there as far as the right to say that he is the Son of God. And the point there would be his works. He said, can anyone else make the blind to see? Can anyone else calm the sea? Can anyone else do the things that I have done? Can anyone else raise the dead? He challenged them at one point, and he said, if I, by the Spirit of God, do wonders among you, then he said, is not the finger of God among you? And indeed, exactly, the Lord Jesus Christ, who else? Who else? There is none other. And we that are saved by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want none other. We've been to Calvary by faith. We've seen what he has done for us there as we've come to the Word of God. And it is all sufficient for us to say that he is not only one that died, but his death was the death of the Son of God. And it was substitutionary in our place because he had no sins of his own. And it was indeed a wonderful saving grace. Let's look at John chapter 13 and verse 19. What a time for the disciples. Here they are. He's told them it's the Last Supper and their hearts are broken. And he says these words. He quotes, by the way, from Psalm 41, which was written about 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Speaking of his betrayal. And he says these words in verse 19. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. The word he again in italics. I am, that you may believe that I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he said, one of you shall betray me. One of you shall betray me. They didn't realize either at the time, or they just couldn't fit it in at all. It wasn't in their minds and hearts at the time, but later on they understood that indeed he had been betrayed and that Judas had betrayed them and so on, and that he had told them before, and that if he was not the I Am, he would not have known. He would not have known. And finally, I would like us to look at John chapter 18 and verse 6. John chapter 18 and verse 6. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's being arrested here. And I'd like you to ask yourself a question here. Just on the basis of this historical happening and recorded happening alone, did Jesus Christ have to go with them? Was he bound and dragged off to the chief priest? Just ask yourself that question. Or is he the great I Am who gave his own life? We read here, verse 3, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, and we know he's a betrayer for sure, came thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. The Lord Jesus was omniscient. He knew all things that would come upon him. It was no accidents. And he said unto them, who seek ye? And they said to him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am, I am. That's all he answered. We have the word added, I am he. He was speaking of his name of deity, and it is a name of absolute power. You see this, it says, Judas also, which betrayed them, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. They were only very fortunate that it was not fire from heaven But he was showing them nonetheless of his tremendous power. They could not have any part of putting him on the cross in one sense if he was not willing to go. A body thou hast prepared me, I have come to do thy will, O God. Over and over again in the book of John, all things that the Father has told me, that do I. What I've seen the Father do, that do I. He is one that was totally obedient in every way. And he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none, absolutely none. The Lord Jesus Christ, the all-powerful I am of God, even as we see his resurrection, surely it is true what is written in another gospel. You not think I could now call 12 legions of angels? And indeed he could have had if it's just his very word. We read in the book of Revelation that out of his mouth proceedeth a two-edged sword with which he slayeth the nations. The Lord Jesus Christ is all-powerful. He did not come to destroy but to save. But he will come. He will come in might and power to judge his enemies. And we say, how can he do that? He can do it. He proves it right here. I am. That is who he is. He is absolutely the I am. Now, it is very important that you believe this and that you trust him, because if you do not believe it, then you cannot be saved. You are not saved. You die in your sins. And where he goeth, and the Bible says that he is at the right hand of God. And that is the home of all that do trust him. But for those that do not, they cannot go there. They cannot go there. They cannot be with him. It's not so much your sins, to die in your sins, that keeps you away. But as the woman of the well, he made an offer to her. He said, if you knew the gift, the free gift, grace, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaketh to thee, thou would have asked. Who was it? He said to her, I am. I am. That is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I pray tonight that you might trust him. When we think of Almighty God, and I think sometimes of a dog, we used to have a little dog that used to come around. We had a farm and we always had pups around, so we always had other dogs around. And once in a while you try to put a run on these dogs, although it was fairly useless. But once in a while I remember there was this little dog who'd come around, and I'd make a yell at him at something. He wouldn't run. He'd just turn over in his back. He'd put up four legs into place, and just as if, well, if you want to kill me, kill me. But I'm begging for mercy. You know, God is great, and you absolutely cannot, ever win when you stand against God. You cannot do it. But it's very interesting that if you surrender to him, and if you take the place of a sinner and look to his mercy, he is full of mercy and grace. Think what he did for the woman at the well. Think what he did for the thief in the cross, or the centurion, or those that stood around, or those guilty Jews that had the Lord Jesus slain. A wonderful Savior. But we must surrender and trust him. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this evening. We thank thee for thy wonderful word. Father, I thank thee for the one that was nailed to the cross on that day with terrible words, nails, pierced hands and feet. His visage more marred than any man. Abandoned of his God. Father, we just wonder at this, and yet we would say, if it was not so, we are yet in our sins. If it were not so, we would have no hope of heaven, none less than the very Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. We just pray that you'd bless thy saints this evening, and pray that if there are any here that know not the Savior, that they might call upon him, even this night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.